Well, thank you very much. And Jerry, thanks for the privilege of being able to teach today. I'm very thankful to do that. Jerry and I talked this week, and we were talking about the time of the seasons and about maybe sharing some things that are pertinent to what went on during this time frame at Jesus Christ's birth. And so I'm going to do that. And I wanted to show you a couple things. And the title of my teaching is named Who Were the Wise Men? But I want to show you this. This is E.W. Bullinger. His book is called Witness of the Stars. And he has a really cool fold-out in the back that shows the 12 constellations. There's actually 48, but there's 12 major ones. And within each major one, there are three more. And they're defined by the big one, like Virgo or Libra, those kind of things. And there's three more within them. So there's actually 48, 12, you know, times four. And this round circle that you see in the middle, that's the pathway that the sun travels. And that sun's pathway is called the ecliptic. It goes around once a year. However, it doesn't land up in the same point every year that it started in. Just because the pathway that it travels and how big the stars are and all the other things that it does, it actually digresses a couple of degrees every year. So it takes 25,000 years, 25,553 years to be exact, for it to get back to that point of starting. In other words, let's say everything started 6,000 years ago and the sun started traveling then. From 6,000 years ago, it's going to take 25,553 years for it to start at the same point in its ecliptic path that it did when it first started. Now, that's its annual thing. And then in addition to that, it does other things. But we right now, and anybody that would like to learn about more about this, I'd be happy to share it with you later. I'm not going to get a whole lot more into that. But we right now are in the sun's commencement every year of that point in Virgo. Okay, and Virgo was the lady, and that's where Christ was born, and the stars came out between her legs with a converging of the planets. And that happened around 2,000 years ago. And where the sun starts out in that commencement every year is still in Virgo. Now, it's digressing because of how big its path is, and it's digressing, and it's almost into Scorpio, which is the one right before it. It, before Virgo, a little over 2,000 years ago, it was in Libra. Libra is the ways and balances. It's interesting that that was the law administration. And before that, it was in Scorpio. We're almost in Sagittarius. But before that, it was in Scorpio, the scorpion. And they have Scorpio depicted now by astrology as evil and bad. Well, it actually was an eagle and dealt with a redeemer and an evil thing happening. And that's pretty much when the fall happened, or at least when we're aware of it as the earth was remade and stuff. And so when you study the stars and you study the constellations as God made them, it just blows you away. Well, that's all I want to share about that part. And I want to start in Romans chapter 15. Because there were wise men that were not Judean believers that came to Bethlehem when Jesus Christ's birth happened. And they studied these things. But in Romans chapter 15, in verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. There is not a book in the Bible that is not laced with hope. And it's either the hope of Jesus Christ's first coming, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's the hope of His return for us. There's hope. It's just everywhere. And when we go back to the Scriptures in the Old Testament, that through patience and coming to the Scriptures might have hope. And my believing for each of you today is that you're going to walk away from here having more hope in your life than you've ever had before. That's what it did for me. I just sat up at my computer, and I had tears in my eyes when I saw what I'm about to share with you. I couldn't believe that God even would even give something like that out. It's so big. It's so magnanimous. And this is the only way that I can share it, the best of my ability, and I trust God just works out the rest. But in Matthew chapter 2, we'll start there. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, and in verse 1, just talking about when Jesus Christ his birth started to happen. Matthew 2:1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship. They're come to worship. These men were part of the Zoroastrian religion. And Zoroaster and some of his people actually studied under Daniel. Daniel was one of the men of God in the Old Testament. We're going to go look at that real briefly. But they studied under him, and the Zoroastrian religion branched off after Daniel to get into pantheism, which is the study of nature, of astrology, and astrology, worship of the stars, instead of astronomy, which is the study of the stars. And then there was a group of the Zoroastrians that actually kept true to what Daniel taught them, and it kept true to their own core beliefs, which were that they believed that there was a deity, there was a god. They believed that there was some type of huge fight, a big this against that, accumulating into devastation. They believed that there was going to be a hope to fix it all, and they believed that. And when they heard Daniel's teaching, they locked into him. They locked into it. And it's some of these men that were the wise men that actually followed the stars to Jesus Christ. And when you think about the sun's elliptic path, how that it's a regression, that every year it's a little bit back, and that it went from one back to Virgo. When it got to Virgo, these guys went bananas. And bear in mind, too, that people back then, they were living 900 years, 1,000 years, 600 years, 500 years. So they could see it. They could see that 900 years after they woke up the first time, when they looked up, it was a different constellation. We don't see that. We're just about at the end of Virgo going into the next one. But we still have maybe 100 years before that happens. And the people that study this, they know it. And it's all up there. And so that's a little bit of the background of that. And these wise men were those men that actually did this. And they were just blown away by the events that were happening celestially. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. Didn't get into the Herod stuff, but they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And at the changing of the constellations, where the sun actually started in the morning, where it actually was under Virgo, that was about the time when they started their journey. And I think we studied years ago, Jerry, how that it took them several months to get where they were going. And this was all about that time frame. God's timing is incredible, how he did all this, and then how people's believing was there. Well, let's go back into the east, because they were from the east. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5, and let's just look at this. And we're going to look at it in light of what I just shared, and especially in light of hope, because hope, comfort, patience of the scriptures, those type of things are things that are for us now that we're supposed to be experiencing and living. And I think we do. I think we've got a good handle on that, because we're really hopeful people. Daniel chapter 5. In verse 11, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, Daniel 5:11. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians. And these are the magi. These are the wise men from the following of those men that came to see Jesus Christ's birth. Astrologers, and these are people that worship the stars, Chaldeans and soothsayers, fortune tellers. See, we don't go by the stars anymore. We don't need to. We go by what the Word of God says. So when you think about the 12 signs or the 12 constellations, always think about it biblically. Don't think about it like the zodiac and how they have invented different things for it and what it means to the pantheon religions, the nature-worshipping religions. Think about it, what it originally meant. If you got it, and to do that, you really have to learn it if you really want to get into it, but you don't go by it. You don't go. It always lines up with the Word of God that's written, but we don't live our lives by the stars. They don't control us, okay? And Anyway, this was about Daniel. Let's go to Ezra chapter 1. I was just tying that together about Daniel. Now we're going to get into something that changed my life as I studied it. We're going to get into something that will absolutely show you the hope of Israel and what it was all about to really wait for Jesus Christ's first coming and what helped promulgate, what helped move those wise men to study those stars for thousands of years, that there still were a group of them that gave their life to go find the birth of Jesus Christ and worship. Wow, it's big. It's so cool. In Ezra chapter 1, now in verse 1, everybody there? Now, and Ezra's right before Nehemiah, and remember, Nehemiah is when they built the wall. Everybody knows about that, right? Okay, well, let's go back to Ezra. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, there was Nebuchadnezzar, then Darius, and now we've got Cyrus, and they were the kings, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem," which is in Judah. Build a house. I'm going, where's it? I go, what? David, blueprints, Solomon's son built the temple. What's this? Well, that temple got torn down. This was the rebuilding of it. This was the rebuilding of it. And he charged Cyrus, his king, to do it. And when you go to chapter 3 of Ezra, you can read the whole chapter or the whole book at your own leisure. It's really awesome. But in chapter 3 and verse 9, they started building. Ezra chapter 3, verse 9, "Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah together, to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." It was relaid. It had been there once, but they redid it. And they were pretty excited. Verse 12, "But many of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men," they'd been around a while, "that had seen the first house." What house? The first house. "When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy." Why? They saw the first house. They understood about God's glory being in the holiest of holies, and they saw that it was gone, and the presence of God was gone, and their hope welled up inside of them that when that foundation was relaid, that they were going to see it again. They shouted. They wept. It was incredible. Let's go to chapter 4. You can keep reading. See, between chapter 3, verse 12, and chapter 4, verse 24, Satan goes to God and says, "I want this stopped, and I'm going to start kicking some butt." God says, "No, you're not." And he protected God's people. You can read about it. It's in there. And then you see that they sent men and got the armies together and caused the work to cease. Verse 24 of Ezra chapter 4, they started it, but now, verse 24, "Then ceased the work because it is persecution. It caused them by force and by power to stop of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia." So we've got about a year or so that everything stopped. Go to chapter 5 and verse 1, which is the next chapter, next verse. We have to get a little intervention here. "Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Zodadok, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them." It takes those ministries in operation to do the work that God has set out to do. And when those type of ministries are involved, there is no stopping the work. no matter what the threats, no matter what the coercion, at all. And I think about Ephesians, how we have gift ministries in operation in the church. I think about how the foundation is laid inside of each of us, which is Jesus Christ, and it's never going to get destroyed. And upon that foundation is built the works of God, and we're part of that. We make that up. There's nothing that can stop us in this day and time, because nobody can come with force or with power or with coercion in any way and stop us from moving God's word and thwart the purposes of God. They tried to do it back then, temples, those type of things, and they were pretty well successful. Can't do it now. Can't touch that inside of us. And they can't touch the hope either. It's up to us to keep it alive. And that's what these men of God helped the people do. So they started building again. Chapter 6 of Ezra. In chapter 6 and verse 14. They went through this whole other deal between chapter 5, 2, and 6, 14. They went through the legal methods to try to stop him, and it didn't work. King Cyrus found the scroll that Nebuchadnezzar wrote down with Daniel after he saw Daniel not get eaten by the lions, that whatever it took to build that temple and whatever it took to help the people build the temple, they got it. And they found that scroll, and so they were released in verse 14 and started building again. And the elders of the Jews built it, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built it and finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. They built it. Well, what did Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet say? Do you know that that's why, that in great part, that the books of Haggai and Zechariah are in the Word? And when you go there, you'll see them helping get that temple built. Let's go. Haggai chapter 1. Let's look at it. Let's just look at it real quickly. Because it was getting close to Jesus Christ's birth now. Things were happening. It was getting close to the holiest of holies. They didn't have that veil written to. It was getting close to his birth time, which is years before that. They had to get this temple built. And so, in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1, and throughout all of this, these magi, they were studying, and the men that had been schooled under Daniel, they just knew the stars. Man, they were just getting into this. In the second year, Haggai chapter 1 verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. That's what the people were saying. It's not time. We can't do it. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, you know, your houses with ceilings, and this house lieth waste? Is it time? You just go on and live your life, do what you want to do, but look at the house of God that's supposed to represent His presence. It just lies waste. And I'm painting a picture of Jerusalem now. It lied waste. You already know that there were no walls around Jerusalem. I'm talking about building the temple before the walls went back up. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Man, he wanted his house built. God really wanted that. Verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day, in the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king, chapter 2, verse 1. In the 7th month, in the 120th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yeah. Yeah, they saw the first house, the men of old, back in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remained among you, fear ye not. Build the house. Go for it. Do it. And every action they took that God gave them to take was designed to give them hope of Jesus Christ's first coming. And that promised seed was almost there. And by the time the wise men got to him, he was born. But throughout all those centuries, they kept all these sayings. They studied. They kept it. And they did it. They followed it. In Zechariah chapter 9, you could read the whole book of Zechariah and it just blow you away because it's along the same lines as Haggai. Because they built the temple and the first part of Ezra, and then Ezra sojourns up from Babylon where he was. It took him 5 months to get to Jerusalem. And when he got there, you know what his job was? It was to set in order the things of God. It was to find out who the real Levites were, the men of God that were the priests, and not just those that wore the robes and called themselves. They had to have the right lineage. It was to set in order the things of God and get everything back in order spiritually. And that's what he did. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. And Jerry, this is what you taught. This is what really stirred my heart. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee, you prisoners of hope. They were prisoners. They had chained themselves to the hope of Jesus Christ's first coming. There were a select group of people within Judaism that did that, that actually believed that Jesus Christ was going to come. Well, when that foundation, that temple, and that temple got destroyed, it trashed it for Israel. Jerusalem was laid waste. It was laid waste. And when they rebuilt it, hope came back alive. And those people could make themselves prisoners of hope again. Not just the men and women of God who stood out in front, but all the people could, the people that came and helped do the work and became part of it. And when Ezra finished with what he did, everything was back in order spiritually. And then guess what happened in Nehemiah? God works it in his heart to get the wall built. And he goes there. The temple's built. It's back in its magnificent glory. The people are worshiping there, at least the ones that were there. They weren't still scattered abroad. Ezra brought a lot of them back together. Nehemiah brought the rest. And when they came back together, they started doing what they were supposed to do in Jerusalem, but there were no walls. And so here comes Nehemiah. Gets those walls built. And now it's back where it needed to be. Isn't that awesome? They all had hope. They could bring all that, their life back together and continue to live like God wanted them to live. Amazing what God worked out. In Acts chapter 28, and this is where I'm closing. In Acts chapter 28, because I think of the hope that we have. I think of how we have chained ourselves to the hope, chained our lives to that. Why do I say that? Because the hope is the anchor of our soul life. You got an anchor, got a boat, got a chain holding two together. The hope is our anchor of our own soul life. We're anchored to it. We're chained to it. We willingly need to understand that and do that and live that. Verse 20 of Acts chapter 28. For this cause, therefore, Paul speaking, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. It was Christ's first coming. But now we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Paul was bound to that. And he gave his life to that. He fought the fight. He knew he was triumphing in Christ Jesus. And he laid it out to every man, woman, and child that he could so that all Asia Minor heard the word of God in 2 years and 3 months. He moved the word of God like that. It got written down. It got preserved. And we're holding it right now. And our hope is Jesus Christ's second coming. There's nobody coming in that's going to destroy the foundation inside of us because it can't be touched. It's where your renewed mind is at, where your thoughts are set above, that's going to keep you moving ahead. And if you think that anything can stop you, think again, because nothing can stop you. Nothing can thwart the purposes of God. You have the right and the freedom to be who you need to be as a Christ-like man and woman. And that's what God expects out of each of us. And we can use all the old excuses. There's something Jerry said a couple years ago. He goes, okay, I'm going to paraphrase it, but you were talking about how that when Satan gets in, either directly or indirectly, in people's lives, he does his little thing and they're all messed up and then leaves. And as the person or the people is still doing the same thing that he got them to do when they were led that way, years afterwards, years go by and they're still doing the same thing and there's no devilish influence anymore. They're just doing it. And that doesn't need to be like that for people's lives at all. I thought about that when I saw how the people ceased from the work and it took them a year to get going again, but it took a man of God coming in there, the prophet, speaking the word of God to get them going again. Pressure, when it hits, it's hard. But there's nothing that can stop us. And if there's anything in anybody's life that you feel like it's holding you back and keeping you from being Christ-like, remember, the foundation's in there. You're Christ-like. It will never have to be rebuilt again. Just keep building the word upon it. And there is hope. God bless.